1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we continue our study tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 12 and plan on going through to verse 22. Verse 12, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And now I pray, Lord, You'd speak to us through Your Word. Take it, apply it, give us understanding, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive it, that we may grow in You and honor You, Lord, with our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of that's here tonight would truly like to honor God with their life? Would you just raise your hands? Okay. Now I'm going to tell you this. You are a threat. You are a threat and you have an enemy. When I say you're a threat, you're not a threat to God. You're a threat to the enemy, which is Satan. If you have that desire, the one thing Satan wants to do is cause you to fail in that endeavor. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. And the first thing we have to deal with is Paul's verse 12 there, where he said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Here's our problem. Most Christians today do not think it will happen to them. You know? We think that we're strong enough, and I've heard repeatedly, oh, I would never do that. Well, if you think you would never do that, be real careful. Okay? Because sometimes Satan puts you in that situation or he catches you off guard. And first thing you know, you're doing things you thought you would never do. That's why Paul said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No one is above that disqualifying failure that we were talking about this morning. And that's what this is dealing with. You know, you've heard people say, well, I never fall into idolatry. Really? How many people are not here tonight? They're somewhere. They're worshiping something, right? You hear people say, well, I'll never fall into sexual immorality. Really? Then why are marriages being attacked on a daily basis? Why are do we have teenage pregnancy problems? Because that attack is, you know, and it's people who never set out to be caught in those things. People say, I would never provoke Christ, or I would never grumble and be ungrateful for what Christ has done, and I would never lead others to grumble. Really? Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to cause trouble, but that's always what that is? You see, first of all, Paul tries to make us aware of how vulnerable we are. And being vulnerable it doesn't matter who you are and how strong you think you are. No, we're actually not nearly as strong as we give ourselves credit for. And it's very important that we are continuously on guard, because Satan is always looking for that unsuspecting victim. And the first thing you know, you've done something you thought you'd never do. By that, you know, I mean, just take, how many of you have a temper problem? You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you lose it and say things and do things you wouldn't normally do? You weren't ready, were you? Satan's looking. He's that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But here's the good news. Paul says that there is no temptation that has overtaken you except such as is common to man. That word overtaken means to seize or to take one, or take under one's control. There's no temptation that is new, that is not common to man. That's what that means. You realize, and we like to think today that we're more tempted than ever. We're like Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. Homosexuality is not new. Sexual immorality is not new. Idolatry is not new. People turning away from God. All that's not new. And so Paul wants you to understand there's no new sin. But even though there's no new sin, sin is still a problem among God's people. And that's why Paul went down the list this morning of idolatry, sexual immorality, and complaining and tempting Christ. He goes down. That's always been there. What we've got to do is we've got to learn how to deal with it. The good news is, okay, it doesn't matter. Well, the bad news is it doesn't matter who's here. We're all subject to temptation. The good news is that no matter the temptation, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Okay? Now, I've heard people try to apply this and say, well, God will not put more on me than I can bear. The Bible doesn't say that. He says you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. Right? There's a difference. And what God does is He provides a way of escape. A way out. God, have you ever heard people say, well, I couldn't help it. Yeah. I did this, but it wasn't my fault. I just could not help it. Yes, you could. Yes, you can. What you've got to know about temptation and sin is that you're never in that position of being tempted without God giving you a way out. Right? You will never be there. He's faithful to give you that way out. And the best way out of most of that temptation is to flee. That's why I said in verse 14, therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't go near it. And it goes back to the main subject that was introduced in chapter 8, and we did a few weeks ago. But the subject was dealing with meat that had been offered or sacrificed to idols. And some of the Christians were partaking of that meat, and they're saying, well, you know, it's just meat. It doesn't matter. And to one extent, that was true. But there was a problem, right? One of the ways, you know, if you just bought it in the market, we'll talk about this later on, that, you know, if you just bought it in the market, you didn't question where the meat came from, and it was just meat then. But another way that they would receive this meat that had been offered to idols were they would participate in an idol feast. They would offer the meat on the altar of an idol, and then they would have a feast to honor the idol afterwards. And so the natural response there was, you know, it's just meat. But they were sitting down in that idol temple and participating in that feast. And it caused them to have an association with that idol temple. Now, to the believers, you know, some believers, it was just simply, well, it's a free meal. But yet they were being seen in the idol's temple. And not only was it an association problem, but while they were there, they could also be tempted with other things. For example, the temple harlots. While they were there, they could be sucked into other sins, right? And Paul's point to saying all this is very simple. We all need to listen to this. Don't allow yourself to be put in that position, right? Don't allow yourself to be there. If you're there, you're going to be tempted. And if you're not tempted, you don't ever have to deal with it, right? And I used to tell my kids, you know, don't go there. But Dad, they would say, you know, I'm not going to do anything. It doesn't matter. If you go there, you're going to have to say no, or you're going to have to resist the temptation. Paul's giving all Christians this idea of don't put yourself in the position to be tempted. What do? Stay as far away from it as you possibly can. You know? There's just some things you don't need to be a part of. And he's basically, it's very simple. He's saying, run. When you're invited or when you're near or you're put in that situation, get out. That's your way of escape. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you don't have to do anything. You heard people say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You chose to do it. Most often, you have the opportunity to get out before you get in too deep. That's Paul's point here. God will provide that way of escape. And then he gives the why. You know, to people that would still say, well, you know, all that doesn't mean anything. I'm not honoring that idol. I'm just eating meat. Then Paul brings up a very good point to drive home the whole idea. He says in verse 16, the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? Here's the deal. When we observe the Lord's Supper and we drink the cup, we become participants or partakers. Even that word that Paul used there is koinonia. It means to have fellowship with. It means we have fellowship with the blood of Christ when we drink that cup. That's what it represents. You're saying, I'm a participant. I'm a part of Jesus Christ. When you eat that bread, it's not just bread. It represents the body of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for your sins, you know? And so Paul says, you know what that means? And when you participate in that, when you take that Lord's Supper, it has a meaning and it has value. It means you have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then he says, when you eat at the table of idols, what do you think it means? It means the same thing as what Paul is saying. It means the same thing. If you were involved in an idol feast, you were associating with that idol. And here's the sobering part that Paul brings home. Now, it was true because meat was offered to idols, and idols were not gods. It did not contaminate that meat. However, look what Paul says. Verse 20. The things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. You have to be careful what you're involved in. You know, have you ever read the horoscopes in the papers? It's demonology. Right? Ever messed with a Ouija board? It's demonology. You say, oh, Brother Doug, it don't mean anything. No, listen. You're associating with demons. Paul's saying, flee that sort of thing. It's going to get you in trouble. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. It's one or the other. But it cannot be both. That's his whole point to all of these verses. You know, there's so many, I think, today, we kind of want to straddle the fence. We don't want to offend, but yet we don't want to be whole hog as far as our faith goes. No. So we kind of dabble. We dabble in Christianity just enough that we clear our conscience, but we want to be part of the world. Listen, huh? You're one or the other. You're either a child of God or you're not. You're either partake of the cup of demons or you partake of the cup of the Lord. That's the idea there. And the really sobering part is God's not okay with it. Okay? That's what Paul said in verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? God does not share His children with anyone. Period. And His children should not be torn between God and something else. The whole idea to this is God is God. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That word jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? Just think, if you're married, the woman that you love, or wives, the man that you love, how would you like to share him with someone else? Say, I'd kill him first, right? Do you realize that as the church, we are the bride of Christ? He should never have to share, or we should never put Him in the position of sharing us with anything or any body, anything else that would tear our loyalties away from Him. Jesus deserves all of us. You see, that's the analogy here. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Absolutely not. I would never set out to make my wife jealous. She would never set out to make me jealous. Why? Because we're husband and wife. I never want to set out or be in a position that would cause God to question my loyalties. I'm a child of the living God. He owns me, bought and paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. There's no room for anyone else, any other God, period. That's Paul's point. Even an appearance. Tell you what, have you ever been in that position where you didn't do anything, but it just didn't appear quite right? You ever been in that position? You know, the Bible tells us we're to abstain from the appearance of evil. Same here. It matters. It matters that everything that comes from us declares the glory of our wonderful God. That's who we are. He deserves all that we are. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me offer you this. Okay? Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. And tonight He's brought you here so that you could have eternal life. Tonight I would encourage you, would you make that commitment tonight? You may be here and you say, one of these days I'm going to be saved. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the time. Here and now. We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. Will you make that commitment? Maybe you're here and the Lord's leading you and calling you to another ministry or to another commitment. Whatever your spiritual need is tonight, will you come? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder that we are to be faithful in every way, even in appearance, so that the world may know that we belong to the living God. Lord, I pray now this invitation that Your will be done and that every decision made would honor You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.